There's another wonderful Sunday this morning. Yeah, so we're just going to continue from where we stopped the last time. And we're on our last part, the last part of our relationship series. So, I mean, for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at relationships. The first one we looked at 3 weeks ago was dating, boyfriend and girlfriend versus Christian courtship. Excuse me. We also, last week, we looked at marriage relationship, we looked at sex and sexuality, and we made a couple of points there that, well, we can listen to the tape of that one. So what we're just trying to do is to put everything into context, and I think at the start of the series, I mentioned that relationships are so important. The relationships that we get involved with, even at the friendship level, not to talk of like who we marry or who we court and all that, can have such a great impact on our lives that it's something we need to take very seriously. Whether we're young, whether we're old, it will guide us and ensure that, look, we don't just go off track completely, that we can fulfill God's plan. That's why we're taking time to look at, you know, various aspects of relationships. So for today, we're going to look at the parent-child relationship. So we're going to look at the family relationship. I'm just going to focus on the relationship of parents to children and just a little bit about, you know, children and their siblings, well, you know, brothers and sisters, but that will be a little part. Now, so I'm going to start with the parents. Now, everything I'm discussing or that I'll be talking about is, you know, it's based on what the Bible says. It's not based on tradition. It's not based on opinion. And I believe that as we follow these principles, even if some of them seem a bit, if I use that word, not modern, so to speak. The Bible is not a traditional book. It's a book about truth that transcends culture. It transcends opinion. So it's truth. Truth lasts forever. So what worked in the Bible 2,000 years ago is what holds today as well. All right, so let's just pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that as we go into your word, please give us understanding. Let us experience the life in your word, not the letter, so that we can be changed. And that even if we're not using these principles now, that when it's time for us to make decisions or to enter these kind of relationships or we have these kind of relationships, remind us, Father, by the Holy Spirit, the things that we'll be learning today. In Jesus' name. So with regards to parents, I'm going to look at four things. Then after that, I'll look at the one that relates to children. So what I'm going to do, I'll touch on these points and I'll go in as much detail as I can within the time. But they'll just be like highlights and we can, you know, listen to the recording later and examine those scriptures more deeply as we see fit in the future. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that children are a blessing from God. Now, if we look at Psalm 127 verse 3, Psalm 127 verse 3, there, the Bible says that sons and daughters are a heritage from the Lord. It says children, a reward from him. Now, why am I starting with the fact that children are a blessing from God? You realize that sometimes when you hear the way some parents talk about children, not that it's their fault a lot of times, it's almost as if children are a burden. You see people like, oh, my life used to be, I could do this, I could do that. Now that I have children, I'm trapped. I can't go out as much as I used to. Oh, my life is this. I'm spending so much money, all the money. And they might have, you know, reasons for saying all that. But what that denotes sometimes is that if we don't remind ourselves that, look, the children that we have, they're a gift from God. If we don't remember that, then we might go down that line where when it's time as a parent or as parents to take responsibility for our kids, we begin to see it from a fact as if children are a burden, you know, I have to do this. No, we should be excited as parents. Any parent should be excited And the way we remain excited is that if we realize all the time that children are a reward from the Lord, children are a blessing. They're not just an addition to life, just like, okay, I have kids and, you know, there you go. No. Children are a reward from God. So we must really, really take that to heart. Obviously, when children are young, you have to, you know, amend your schedule a bit. You know, they will wake up when they are, you know, a couple of months old, they will wake you up in the night. You have to feed them and feed them. Someone is smiling here. And all those things, but there should be a joy that, look, I have the opportunity, I have a reward from God. And if we have that attitude towards children, a lot of the things that we see around will change. We won't see children as just like a burden, you know, just to be endured, just okay, we'll take them to school. We can't wait till they're 18 or 21 or whatever and they leave the house. Then, oh, we can have a breather. No, that's not the attitude that God wants us to have. They are a blessing from God. And the Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, so they're a reward from Him. They're a heritage from the Lord. So that's the first thing I just want to use as the icebreaker for this one. That children are very special. And parents should note that. Now, the next part I want to look at is this. Now, we're focusing, this is parents now, addressing parents, not, you know, the children at this time. So we're addressing parents now. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. God is very particular about children, particularly children that are Christians. In fact, God is so particular about them, it's almost, as a parent or as someone who has influence on children, young children, it can almost make it a bit scary for you. And I'm going to read a couple of things. But the first thing we want to see is that God loves children. Now, we'll look at one part. We'll look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. And here, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Now, what happened before Jesus said this? Jesus was ministering in one place, sitting. Now, the Bible tells us in the preceding verses. And some children came to him, and his disciples, being very, you know, zealous, just said, "Oh, look, keep the children away from Jesus. Jesus has important things." I'm paraphrasing. "Jesus has important things to do. Can't you see that Jesus is so, you know, is deep?" And Jesus said, "No, no, 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 no. Let them come to me." So even though Jesus was ministering seriously, you know, he was talking about important things, he said, "No, no, no, no. Let them come to me." Do you understand? I mean, can you imagine if, like, Bill Gates is having a meeting, an executive meeting, and, you know, some kids just bust into the boardroom. Not that, you know, I would recommend that anyway. And Bill Gates just say, "Oh, I'm, you know, that high-level powered executives there." And Bill Gates says, "Oh, don't worry, those are my, you know, my grandchildren. Let them come, let them come." Do you know what I mean? Jesus loves children, and we need to really, really understand that. So Jesus, and children are not to be, you know, chucked at the back of the church somewhere. I mean, if they need to play and all that, that's fine. But they're not to be relegated. They're not to be said, "Oh, you children, just, you know, stay outside and play, you know, on the swing while we have serious Bible study." No, no, no. While we talk, no, Jesus doesn't want us to do like that. To him, children are as important as adults. And I think reading through the Bible, anytime Jesus talks about children, I mean, he talks about them in such a way that you can begin to see that, look, they make such a big difference to him. In fact, he goes ahead and says, "Look, guys," paraphrasing now, "if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven and experience God, you must be like a child." So there's something that Jesus loves about children. So to parents, we need to really be aware that children are loved immensely by the Lord. Now, I'm going to read the scary part here for parents and for anybody who has any that leads children. You might be a teacher. You might be a youth worker. You might be anybody that has influence on children. Let me read something that Jesus said. And Jesus didn't say that about adults. He said this about children. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. He says, now, this is referring particularly to children who are born again, who are Christians. And this is one of the stiffest warnings Jesus gave in the Bible. He says, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, check this out, it will be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea than to face the punishment I'll give such a person. Can you see that? Jesus said, can you imagine? He said, instead of facing me when it comes to these children, it's better for you to go into the ocean, maybe just take a trip, ask someone to take you to the middle of the ocean, take a big rock, tie that rock around your neck, chuck that big, ask your mates to chuck that rock into the sea so that it can drown such a person. He said it's better for someone to exit and die like that than to face him if he leads one of these people astray. So what this begins to tell me is this. You see, what a lot of people don't realize is this. Jesus will not take it easy on anyone who leads these little ones astray. That is what he's saying here. So for everyone that leads children, maybe in children's ministry, and even parents, we need to be conscious that if, because of you, a young Christian born again falls into sin, if because of your behavior, because of my behavior, we lead them astray, Jesus says he's not going to take it easy. So all these pop stars, obviously they don't know what they're doing, all these pop stars that cause our children to become wayward, all these pop stars that sing all these songs that make our children, some children go crazy, all these people who are influencing our children in the wrong way, this is what Jesus says about them. This is what Jesus said. He says, if you cause any one of these guys to sin, don't even think about it. Now, Jesus doesn't say that about adults. So it tells me that Jesus has a special place for children, particularly young ones in the faith. So God has a very special place in his heart for children. Still addressing parents. So what does that mean as parents? As parents, we must try our best that our lifestyle, our behavior does not influence our children wrongly to make bad choices. Obviously, I'm not saying we are as adults we're perfect. We can't be. If not, you know, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But what I'm just saying is that we need to be mindful that whatever behavior we whatever path we follow, whatever we do as adults leading children, as parents, we need to be really mindful that our behavior doesn't go lead people astray. All right, so that's the second one. Now, the next one I want to look at is parents have the responsibility to train their children. Parents have responsibility to train their children. Now, let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. God points out something quite interesting here about Abraham. He passes a comment about Abraham as it relates to his children. He says, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So God begins to say something about Abraham here. And one thing we have to note here, he says, there's something that Abraham, he says, will do. He says, Abraham will direct his children. Now, why? I mean, in the scheme of, in the master scheme of things, why is that sentence there? Why didn't God just say he would direct his family, he would direct his household, he would direct his servants, he would direct his company, he would direct his business, then I will bring what? No, God didn't even go He didn't mention those things. He first of all said he will direct his children and his household. So what this tells us is that parents have a responsibility to direct their children. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 2 and 22 verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Now Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Train a child in the way he should go, and he will not turn from it. So I'm sure the young ones will be saying, hang on, what does this mean? They're looking at me like, what does this mean, train? Now, as parents, we need to understand what it means to train children. Now, I looked up this word in a dictionary. What does that word mean, train? Does it mean tell them every morning? This is just an analogy. I have written 10 things that you must do in this house. First, when you wake up, exercise. Second, when you wake up, make sure that you make your bed. Is that what training is about? Well, maybe partly, we should do these things, But training takes a slightly deeper meaning. And I got this definition of training here. It says, to teach a particular skill or type of behavior through sustained practice and instruction. I'll read that again. It says, to teach a particular skill or a type of behavior through sustained practice and instruction. So what that means is this. It's not just good enough to chuck a set of do's and don'ts to our kids and say, here, read that, And as parents, we leave them and do whatever we want to do. Let them follow those rules by themselves. Fine. That's it. No. It says train by practice and instruction. So what that tells me is this. If you say your child should study the Bible, if you say your child should do one or two things, then you should do that. You should do that as well. You should show by example and train them and say, look, this is how you do this. It's just like, for example, if you want to teach someone how to ride a bicycle. You can bring up a book and go on the internet or go to amazon.co.uk or a bookshop and buy 10 books on how to ride a bicycle. Chuck that book in front of yourself and your son or whoever. Even if you don't know how to ride and you want to learn, you can read those books for years and years and years and years. But I tell you, if you don't get on that bike and try it, you're not going to learn it. Do you get what I mean? So what am I saying here? There's a balance. We have to ensure that, look, as parents, and when it means train, that you're giving the instruction. However, you are also leading by example. You're showing what it should be like. You're instructing. You're almost like a coach. And you must correct and say, look, that's not the way to do it. This is how you do it. And for the bits that you as a parent, you don't understand, then you go to the Bible and try and find out, how do I, handle this particular situation? But what the Bible tells us very clearly is this. We cannot leave children to do whatever they want. Because children, they haven't seen much. Yeah, they haven't seen much. As far as children know, a lot of times, money falls from trees. I want that game and give it to me now. Just go out into the garden. I'm sure you can. No. So what the Bible says is that, because obviously children are children and adults are adults, we have more experience in these things. Do you understand what I mean? So that's what I'm saying here. So we're saying that, look, parents have the responsibility. And I just want to put another PS here. It is not the responsibility of the school to train up our children. Neither is it the responsibility of the pastor to train up your children. And you're like, hang on, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. The school system will teach your children, or will teach children, academics. I mean, the school system is great. They will teach them all sorts of things. That's fine. But as a parent, you cannot leave the responsibility of training your children, responsibility I put here, to the government or to the school. Neither to the pastor or to the church. You can't say, well, I'm just going to chuck my, you know, take my children to Sunday school. I hope that Sunday school teacher in 1 hour a week can train my child to be whatever. Yes, you know, the church pastors can teach, Sunday school teachers can teach, but as a parent, you have the sole responsibility of training your child. That means you look at your child and you say, okay, for this particular guy that behaves, this is the approach of training that this one needs. For this other child, this is the approach of training that this one needs. So what that means is this. There are some times that you can apply the same approach to the same all children. There are some children that you have to be slightly, you have to, you know, instruct more than others. There's some that you have to show them. So the responsibility of training children lies with the parent. Yes, the church can put an impute here. Yes, the school system can teach science and all that, but the responsibility lies on the parent. So I'm going to put another PS here. Then I'll move on to the one about children. So there's a part I was reading in the book of Romans chapter 2 verse 21. Romans chapter 2 verse 21. I'm sure some of you might be saying, look, I'm not a parent yet. What does this have to do with me? Don't worry. In the future, you will remember today. Romans chapter 2 verse 21. Again, parents training up their children. And it says here, this is to parents. It says, you then, well, not to parents, but I'm just in the context of parents. It says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? Now, what this means is this. As parents, we can't really deceive our children. We can deceive people outside. You can deceive people in your office. You can deceive people, you know, but your kids know you exactly. So you cannot be a hypocrite. This passage of scripture, Romans chapter 2:21, it says that you who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who say, don't steal, do you steal? Let me give an example. I'm not going to mention, a number of years ago, I used to lead this, well, let me not make too much inference. Well, there was a group I used to lead and all that, and, you know, this person, this parent used to come to that group and stuff. So I didn't see them. I now phoned them on one day. You know, just phone, just find out how they're doing. You know, I haven't seen you, you know, how are things and stuff like that. And in those days, I don't think the mobile phones were too, I think they were just coming up then. So most people had house phones. And this child picked up the phone and said, oh, good afternoon. Who's speaking? I'm like, it's, you know, me, blah, blah. Oh, good afternoon. How are you doing? I said, oh, how are you doing? Can I speak to your mom, dad, and all that? And I heard in the background the parent of this child saying, hey, tell him I'm not at home. Tell him I'm not home. And I heard. Do you get what I mean? Obviously, I pretended that I didn't hear. And, oh, she said, my mom or dad, I don't want to say, oh, my mom or dad, they're not at home. Okay, I said, no problem. Just say hello to them. And I heard the parent saying, tell him I'm not at home. Tell him I'm not in the background. Now, you answer me. What are you going to tell that child when that child comes and says, mom or dad, I did this? And you say, what? That's a lie. What are you telling them? What are you telling them? You're saying, well, I'm a hypocrite. You are. So don't be like me. Do you get what I mean? So Paul is saying here, don't be a hypocrite. Now, am I saying every parent is perfect? No. But don't be a hypocrite, because if you are a hypocrite, Your children know that you're a hypocrite, and they will behave, and they will just say, look, you're not going to tell me, they might not tell the parents, you're not going to tell me what to do because you're a liar, you're a thief yourself. So what are you telling me? I will do exactly what I want to do. So the Bible is telling us here, look, as parents, let us as, I'm not saying parents are perfect, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that as parents, we need to be so careful that we are not hypocritical in our approach, because our children, they see through all that. You can't deceive children like that. They know who is a hypocrite or not. Adults, you can still wiggle around. So what am I saying, talking about parents here, or parenting, or parent-child relationship? I said children are a blessing from God. I said God is very particular about children. We looked at that. I said parents have responsibility. The responsibility to train up their children, not other people. The buck lies with you as a parent. Now, the last thing I want to say about parents, parenting, is this, before I move on to the children. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers or mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We'll go to kids in a minute. I said, what does that word exasperate mean? It says, don't exasperate your children. That's what the Bible says here. Sorry, just a minute. It says, don't exasperate your children. And I said, okay, what does that word exasperate, what does that mean? It says, it means to infuriate, to irritate. So the Bible is saying here, look, don't irritate your children. Now, what does that mean? That means don't be a pestful parent. If you have a point to make, make it, but let it not just be that each time you have a conversation, well, some children deserve, well, that's my opinion, they deserve to be spoken to over and over again. But what the Bible is saying here is that, look, don't frustrate them. Let it not just be that the only thing you say to them is, you're doing this wrong, 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 wrong. Come on. There are some things that they do right. Commend them for that as well. So it's not just, look, every day you do 99%. I mean, yes, children are children. They'll do what they need to do. They need to be corrected, but We don't want to irritate our children by just telling them all the time, look, you're this, have you done this? Give them a break sometimes. However, we need to correct them. But let's do it in a way that is not like on their case all the time, irritating them. But we need to correct them. All right? So that's it for parents. Now we come to children. I'll talk about children for the next 10 or so minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Now, about children, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. Excuse me. That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I looked up the word honor. What does that mean? Of recent, I've just been looking up so many words. Just so that we can have a clearer understanding. What does honor mean? Honor means to respect highly. With great esteem. To respect highly with great esteem. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's say there's someone that you really like, or maybe you've been reading about them on the news, not like a pop star and stuff like that. Like, you know, someone who's, you know, say, for example, you've wanted to meet the prime minister for a while, and suddenly, you know, you've been studying history, you're like a political science student, then the prime minister says, oh, I'm coming by your house tomorrow. I'm sure when you meet the prime minister, assuming, you know, that's, you're like a real political person, and they come to your house, there's a way that you will treat them. You will not just say, hi, bye, sorry. You'd be like, oh, good evening, how are you? You know, you would honor them, you would treat them with high regard. Why? Because you think they're worthy of it, they're special and all that. The same way the Bible is saying that, even though you see your parents every day as children, you need to treat them with high regard and esteem. You need to. I need to treat my parents the same way, even though I'm slightly older than a lot of people. And my parents are, you know, but all the same, our parents are parents. We need to treat them with high regard and esteem. Now, there's an addendum to this passage here. It says that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, what does that mean? That is saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that if I look at it the flip side, any child who dishonors their parents consistently, that is, you know, treats their parents with utter disregard, the Bible is implying here that it's not going to go well with such a person. That it will not go well with such a person, and possibly that person might not even have long life on the earth. I didn't say it is black and white here. So this is telling me that anyone, when you see anyone who is constantly disregarding their parents, you know, some people even say, you know, curse words against their parents, what the Bible is saying is such a person, watch their life. It is likely that if they don't change, it's not going to go well with them. They might not even live long. That's what the Bible says here. All right, so that's number one about children, talking to children now. And, you know, when I'm talking to children, I'm not talking to like 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds. I'm talking to every child that has a parent. So I'm talking to every child. Everyone that has a parent. You know, at least till you're in your 20s or something. Now, so we said we must really honor and respect our parents. The next one is this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. The second point here is this. As young people, as a young person, as a teenager, the Bible tells us that we must live an exemplary behavior. Well, should I say live an exemplary? No, live a life that is exemplary, that shows that, look, you are a Christian. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So, what Paul is saying here is that for every child, there's something you need to do. This is not just for the pastor. This is not just for people who are old. It says you should live a life that is an example. That means if you're a young person in your school or at work and you're a Christian, your life should be an example. The way you speak, it says in speech, it must be different from the way someone who is not born again speaks. It says, in life, the way you conduct your life cannot be like someone who doesn't know God at all, in faith and in purity. That's what Paul is saying. The truth of the matter is this. As an adult, I can maybe in my office or wherever or outside, by the force of my character, I can make people do things. I can talk my way away. I can, you know, people are very good at talking. you know, get away with a lot of things. But as a young person, I want to tell you something. As a Christian young person, what you say is not really what's going to make your mates know whether you're a Christian or not. You can say all you want. That's the thing with young people. They don't, you cannot just deceive them. And adults will be okay, politically correct and all that. But for young people, they can know if you're a hypocrite or not. You cannot, I mean, they will tell, you know, adults are a bit politically correct. If I'm misbehaving, my mate at the office might, you know, say, oh, okay, you know, put it in a shady, make it very colorful. But for young people, they'll tell you sometimes, who are you? What are you saying? You telling me this. Not you. Let somebody else come and tell me. So Paul is saying here is that the only way you can address your generation, the only way you can address your mates in school that can turn them to God, that can make them say, oh, is this how a Christian is by your example, not by the way you say you are, not by saying I go to church on a Sunday or I'm this, I'm that. No, that's fine. But he's saying that if you don't display all those qualities, forget it. Forget it. Particularly for young people, forget it. Forget it. You just be deceiving yourself. So Paul says we should leave as a young person, as a child, young person, an example in the way you speak, in your life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, the last one I'm going to look at is this. Still regarding children, well, the relationship, but well, I don't know if this is really relationship of children to parents, but talking about young people anyway. Now, I just want to say something, and we'll just close in a minute. One thing is this, as a young person, and maybe sometimes you have parents really trying to make this clear in the life of their children, there are three things I want to say very quickly. The summary of those three things is this. Anything that you do as a young person now affects your life in the future. I'll repeat that. Anything that you do now affects your life in the future. You might not know it, or you might not know the impact of it. So what I'm going to say, I'm just going to say three things very quickly. I think as a young person, one thing that one needs to address is this. We don't have to turn there. The book of Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9 to 11. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9 to 11. What I find amongst young people, and what I found when I was growing up as well, is this. Okay, that's fine. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9 to 11. As a young person, you have to avoid laziness. What I say? Laziness. Now, when someone is growing up, as you become a teenager, or as you're becoming a teenager into your early adulthood, as a young person, your body will be changing. And what you will find is that oftentimes you're fatigued. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I now understand why. I used to sleep. I mean, waking up for me at that point, it was like, my dad used to wake us up quite early. And I'm like, why is he waking us up? I don't have school to go to. Let me sleep, please. But one thing is this. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9. As a young person, you need to understand that yes, your body is changing. Yes, you're going to be fatigued. One of the reasons why you're fatigued and you're so tired a lot of the time is because your body is changing. So understand that. There's a physical part to it. But even though your body is changing, you have to train yourself and your mind not to be lazy. Because what will happen is this. You might say, oh, I'm so tired. Now, yes, you're tired because your body is changing and using up a lot of energy and all that. But if you allow that to form your mind, you will get to a point that when you leave the age of youth, your mind will have been so conditioned to that, I'm so tired, that when you become an adult, you're tired. But that tiredness has stopped, but it's still in your mind. So the Bible says here, get up from your sleep, my friend. If you scan, right, one thing, if I don't know if anybody agrees with me here, one thing that is peculiar to young people is this. You guys can say otherwise. Young people like to sleep a lot. I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger, waking up at 10 or 11, I mean, that's it. But the Bible says you cannot continue like that forever. You have to make up your mind and say, okay, look, I need to sleep, but I need to get up as well. All right. So bear that in mind. Laziness is one of the things that we need, as a young person, you have to really come on, shake yourself out of. The last things, we won't look at that. And I'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says that we should be an example. We should, you know, pursue righteousness. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 implies that, look, we should not be worldly, if I can summarize it. We should follow what the Bible says. We should not be led by what the world says, but what the Bible says. Last thing I want to talk about for young people is Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. We don't have to turn there. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, which is that for every young person, God has a plan for you. You might not know what that plan is, but God has a distinct plan for you. And even though you might feel like your life is just one tiny dot on the face of the earth, even though you might feel that, look, can you ever make a difference? What the Bible says is that despite your feeling like that, God has a plan for you. He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan to take you somewhere, in Jesus' name. So that rounds up my talk on parents and children. So that's what we've looked at. We've looked at parents saying, children, I bless them. We've said that, you know, we have the responsibility as parents to bring up our children. We've said God is particularly interested in children, and we should not exasperate our children. For children, we said we should honor our parents, we should lead by example, and we should understand that our actions now affect us for the future. Amen. So that's that. Let us just pray.